south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander.
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started.
Uh-oh, I figured this was coming. Hate to say I told you so. Hot off the presses just yesterday. You really gotta hear this. This comes from Panama, so listen closely. Panamanian immigration authorities are tightening some rules and instituting new ones to control access to the country by foreigners. That means you and me. The measures are intended to control what the Servicio Nacional de Migración, that's the immigration service, they say there are abuses by foreigners, gringos, who do not have legal residency in the country. Quote, the most important change of the rules is intended to combat the practice of foreigners leaving the country for a few days, then returning for the sole purpose of renewing their tourist 90-day status. There have been abuses in the country's hospitality, and we will no longer tolerate this, says a spokesperson for the Panama Immigration Service. We do welcome tourists, he says, but for those who wish to reside in the country, they must follow all of our rules. Then the article says, Panama is the latest Latin country to revise its immigration rules in recent months, tightening and updating them, as are other countries in the process, including Ecuador, Chile, and Peru. It says Mexico and Colombia are also now conducting reviews of their immigration processes and will follow suit and tighten theirs up shortly. It says the upgrades and changes are part of a greater vigilance worldwide of the foreigners crossing borders. Much of this is based on concerns about terrorism, but in Latin America, it concerns expats who are not abiding by the rules of legal residency. Now listen to this. According to the U.S. Embassy in Panama, Panamanian immigration officers have now been ordered to carefully examine passports to determine if there is a pattern of re-entries into the country, indicating that foreign trips, repeated entrances and exits by gringos especially, are being done to repeatedly renew their 90-day visas. Also, as part of stricter enforcement laws, it says, Panama will step up the background investigations of tourists entering the country. Whatever that means. Worse yet, it says the Panama Immigration Authority says it is now reviewing rules governing legal residency and said changes will be made, targeted at the many foreigners who are citizens of the U.S., Canada, and several European countries. Then it says, many Latin countries have tolerated a high level of informality over the years concerning the entrances and exits of foreign tourists. The practice of leaving a country and returning within a day or two to get a new passport tourist stamp for generally another 90 days has been widespread for years, and tighter rules will end that. It's a growing problem that must be addressed. So Latin countries want to tighten up their immigration policies and their borders. What an interesting concept. But it's not such an interesting or calming subject for you listeners up there who are thinking about starting or are in various stages of your Plan B. So the idea is to stop your regular tourists from coming in and out of the country every 90 days to renew their visas, forcing people to apply for residency. Well, nothing wrong with that, except in almost all countries except Guatemala, you have to stay in the country 30, 60, 90, even 180 days a year while you're going through the residency process. And the normal residency process is around 5 years, give or take, till you qualify for nationalization and get your passport. Now, the problem is, since most are still getting their act together up north and can't just leave the States and spend months at a time in the country where they've applied for residency, the obvious first choice for residency would be Guatemala because you only have to be 1 day a year in the country to maintain that residency. Yep, it's happening exactly as I mentioned. Latin countries are cracking down on immigration, making it harder and harder to get in and out of the country and harder to get your permanent and temporary residency. So those windows of opportunity are closing fast, which is why it's more important than ever that you try to get down to my Expat Insider Seminar in July. Kill two birds with one stone and apply at the same time for your permanent or temporary residency in Guatemala. Of course, getting your residency in any Latin country, as long as it leads to passport, and most of them do, well, that's a good thing, but there are problems on the horizon. And you can be sure very soon what's happening in Panama is going to spread to all the rest of the Latin countries. Panama seems to be the bellwether of Latin America. When they tightened up on their banking regs, everyone else followed suit a year or two later. When they raise or invent some new stupid taxes, a couple years later, most of the other Latin countries fall in line. So all you gonna-bes and wannabes, and those of you who are in various stages of your plan B, this is your signal, this is the warning shot. Immigration policies throughout Latin America are gonna be tightening up. Very soon that means a lot more hoops to jump through. If not, in a year or two, I'm sure you'll be kicking yourself and saying, why, oh, why didn't I get the paperwork going back then when Johnny put out the warning? And you know, lately I've been doing a lot of Plan B phone consults with individuals, and it seems like so many of them say, Johnny, I'm really going to do it. I'm getting that Plan B going, just in case. And I'm probably figure I got 5 or 10 years before I retire, get the pension and all that. And I'm wondering, man, if you got a 5 or 10 year plan that still involves the U.S. or Canada or Europe, isn't that like the tail wagging the dog? I mean, world events don't follow our schedules. And the train gathers steam as it heads towards the cliff. And it's okay to think you maybe got 5 or 10 good years left up in the States. But really, open your eyes. If the whole thing doesn't come tumbling down within the next year or so, me and a couple of million other people will be shocked and surprised. Go ahead. Be as optimistic as you want, but prepare for the worst. So to get started, step number one, go to www.thenewexpat.com. Click on Johnny's seminar link at the top of the page. There, you'll get all the info on the seminar and how to kill 2 birds with 1 stone for the Guatemalan residency process, as well as information and sign-up details regarding those famous John Galt pre- and post-seminar trips. So it's true, the immigration regs in Latin America are getting tougher and tougher all the time, as you've just heard. That said, if you just can't get boots on the ground right now, never fear, there's still a way to get your ducks lined up from right up there in Jersey, Seattle, or Cleveland. Just go to expatplanb.com and sign up for my 8-hour Expat Essentials video course. And of course, I'm always available for phone consultations so we can go over your particular Plan B and work out the details together. I've done hundreds of calls like that so far. And if you need a general overview of what you should be thinking about and what we'll be talking about if we do a one-on-one call, have a look at my phone consultation questionnaire. It should be up on the newexpat.com website by now. Download it, have a look, fill it out, and we'll take it from there. All right, what's next? Let's talk about something special, something that's rarely spoken about. If you plan ahead, and you have to plan ahead if you're going to do this, you can do something you could never ever do again up in the first world. That is, you can start your new life down here in Latin America with a very tiny social footprint. In fact, if you plan it right, you could be nearly anonymous. But you have to have a plan and prepare ahead to make that happen. That means from day one, you'll have to follow certain strict rules to put it in action. And after that, it'll come easy. Because, you know, as soon as you get down here, you're going to have to put your name to things. Rental contracts, utility services, internet, cell phone service, renting and buying cars. And of course, when you sign up for your internet service and you get a new smartphone, if you start taking pictures of yourself and uploading all kinds of your information on the net every time a pop-up window comes up, offering a free subscription to this or that, an Amazon coupon or a webinar, you'll be right back in Big Brother land on everybody's radar, including all the alphabet agencies. And that cloud business and the Apple iStore, man, they suck all the information out of you they can. And I'll tell you, every expat, gonna-be, and wannabe I've ever done a phone consultation with, including every person that's come down to my Expat Insider Seminar, they all tell me, Johnny, if I could, I'd start all over with a clean slate. No more photos on Twitter, Facebook, WhatsApp. No shoving everything up on the cloud. Not that they'd go Luddite. However, they say if they knew then what they knew now, they'd have used some other name or some other sign-up technique, but that's impossible now because they've already let their real name and all their dats out a long, long time ago, and they gave their dats to countless sources who also gave their dats out or sold them to other countless sources. So basically, your privacy's gone, and there are parts of your life that are not yours anymore. Well, you know what? I'm here to tell you there is a way to take that all back. And it really is your last chance. In fact, it's a golden chance to start all over again with as small a footprint as you want. Of course, you can never be truly 100% anonymous, but if you give it a good shot, you can get pretty close to it. So let's talk about some of the techniques astute expats use. First of all, let me tell you, one of the key points in making that happen for real once you get down here is to utilize your lawyer as your permanent or somewhat permanent Latin country mailing address. For example, if you're getting Social Security or disability payments or statements, you certainly don't want the government to know exactly where you live now, do you? Simple. Give them your lawyer's address. Now, once you've got a trusted Latin lawyer, and you really do become his client, once you've bonded with him and he knows you're going to be a steady client and friend, that's really what you end up being when you hook up with a Latin lawyer down here because, you know, they all want to have, in fact, they prefer gringo clients for a lot of reasons. Not the least of which is that we're on time. We show up on time for appointments. We do what we say we're going to do and our checks don't bounce. Not to mention we come from that far off place, the first world, where every Latin really wants to have a nice solid connection. Remember, the tsunami of human bodies is towards the north, not the south. All right, number one, you get a trusted Latin lawyer. And believe me, he'll want to be your friend. He'll invite you to his kids' quinceañera parties. You'll certainly end up going out to dinner with him and meeting the kids and the wife and all that. That's just the way Latin lawyers are. It's not just a business relationship. Most times, you bond with them and end up becoming friends. And I know that rarely happens up in the States. It's a strictly professional deal when you get a lawyer up there. And for sure, every call you make to his office is going to cost you money. Whereas here in Latin America, lawyers do not charge you unless they've actually done something. In fact, I've never heard of a single Latin lawyer who charges for phone time, except, get this, where the gringos have landed. Panama, Costa Rica, big cities in Colombia. Why? Because they have so many gringo clients. Occasionally, one will ask how much they charge for phone time, which puts the idea in the Latin lawyer's head. Hey, if gringos are used to paying lawyers for phone time, we'll do it too. Whereas off the gringo tourist trail, chances are, your lawyer is going to have very few gringo clients, and you'll be on the short list of his prized clients too. Providing you're not a negative, grating, repulsive type with overpowering halitosis or BO. You know, takes all kinds, right? Now, as weird as this sounds, you longtime listeners will remember I said, every professional Latin person wants to have a gringo buddy or two. For instance, to have a real live gringo or two at your daughter's quinceañera party, well, that's a feather in the hat. I've been there and paraded around a bit like a B-grade rock star. And since I speak Spanish and can understand it quite a bit, I've heard the other guests whisper stuff like, who's that gringo? What's he doing here? I didn't know so-and-so had gringo friends. In fact, where I am off the gringo tourist trail, I'm often the only gringo at a party. So when I hear those little whispers from some of the other attendees, it's curiosity with a tinge of jealousy thrown in. You know, wish I had a gringo buddy to pal around with. Of course, that won't happen on the gringo tourist trail, where the locals are pretty much jaded to having gringos around spending money. I'm talking about my favorite places, which are almost all way off the gringo tourist trail. In fact, just recently, again, I hit a couple of those Decameron all-inclusive resorts because I had some free passes, you know. Remember I mentioned if you stay for their membership spiel, which lasts about an hour, you get a free 3-day, 2-night pass, and I've accumulated quite a few of those. I had to make use of them because they're about to expire, time-dated, you know. Now, these Decameron all-inclusives are big. They hold at least 1,000 people at a time. And generally, when I'm there, I run into maybe 2 to 5 first-world gringos. And in most all of those cases, they're not there because they know about the Decameron. It's that they're married to a Latina or Latino spouse. Now, besides that very small handful of gringos, there's usually a group of 20 or more geriatric Northern Europeans down on a charter flight. Many of them pretty wrinkly and decrepit with canes and walkers. I don't get it. Hot sun, 90 degrees, pale white skin with a walker. Having fun yet? And then I always seem to run in the requisite handful of geriatric Canadians down on a charter flight too. Don't know how that started and how the Canadians even found such a place. If you happen to book a trip there and you speak nothing but English, it's not going to be easy. So anyway, that's the normal gringo breakdown. And you know, gringos and people who look like gringos, you know, those Northern Europeans, we do stand out. We're taller, definitely much whiter, almost always way too sunburned after the first or second day. And if you're kind of a veteran at those places like I am, and you keep your eyes and ears open, you'll see people are looking and talking about you, and not in a bad way. Like, for example, this little tidbit I overheard from a couple of teenage Latinas. They said, mire, un gringo, bueno. Loosely translated, look, a gringo, cool. Yeah, right, tell me if you've ever heard a comment like that when you're traveling through the rest of the world. Like, for example, Europe. It'd be more like, look, a gringo. So what's this Decameron thing have to do with being anonymous? Well, if you want to maintain a very small footprint, you have your lawyer book all those trips through his corporation or through yours if you have one. So the tickets are purchased on the books under the name of an SA corporation and you show up as an employee or representative of the company to claim the reservations. Oh, and that's why I use StartMail. You guys know what that is, right? It's an email service like Yahoo and Google, except it's set up so that you can make it very anonymous if you so choose. It's got anonymous encrypted email like a lot of services, but what I like about it and use it for most is the anonymous alias email feature. Now again, I make no money from plugging this. I'm just telling you what I use and how I use it. And you know, it's not free. It's, I think, around $60 a year. But I say it's worth it just for that one feature. How's that work? Well, you get 10 anonymous aliases. These are valid email addresses that you can create or you can let the service create them for you. And you can maintain them indefinitely or kill them after an hour, a day, a week, a month. Your choice. Let me give you an example. Someone sends you a link to an article on a cool informational website. You go there, you start reading the article, a window pops up, blacks out your screen. It says in order to read the rest of the article, you have to put in your email address. So you give it to them. Then they'll send you an email and you go in your email, click on that link and you're in. However, then you start getting all kinds of other junk mail because you're put on other related lists. That site sold your name, even though they always say they won't and it's confidential. In fact, it seems every day as you're searching on the web and checking out sites and stuff, a window will pop up where you have to put in an email address to get something or another. And you know, if you do that, you're constantly going to be getting crap for the rest of your life at your regular email site. So often we weigh the pros and cons. Should I or shouldn't I? I know if I do, I'll be giving up something. Is it worth it? Maybe, maybe not. Every time you do that, you lose more and more of your privacy. Same thing when you order things on the net or signed up for those wretched social media sites like LinkedIn and Twitter and Facebook. They always want a valid email and you have to go to your email site and click it to activate it and all that. You know what I'm talking about. Which is why I love StartMail. You can create up to 10 aliases. Use one or more of them when you have to plug in an email address for anything. Then when you check your StartMail inbox, you'll see those alias emails pop up as they're sent back to you. And when the junk mail starts coming in, it will, you go into the settings and you kill those emails you find are linked to those nauseating spam sites like that wretched Pinterest site. Now, you've eliminated the possibility for them to send you any junk anymore. Unless, of course, you search out those sites through Google. Then you'll get bombarded with ads and pop-up windows again, which is why you should always use StartPage as your search engine. It's Google with your IP address stripped off after the search. Oh, and by the way, when you first sign up for StartMail, they'll of course ask you for a verified email address too, so I suggest you don't give them any of the email addresses you use a lot. Just create a brand new email box from some service or another and plug that one in. Of course, years ago, we all got sucked into using Yahoo and Google and Hotmail and stuff. We were just happy to have a free email service. That was before anyone even thought of the privacy issue. So all of us, and I mean all of us, got sucked into Google or Yahoo. We know now they're wide open for hackers and the government has all that info. But we've been on them for so many years and have so many emails backlogged in our email archives, we're very reluctant to give it up. Expat Eddie says it's like finding that a good, long-term, faithful employee has been stealing from you. After so many years, it's a hard thing to fire them. We should have known a long time ago that free email services weren't free. Their main aim was to spy on us, sell us things, and then sell our dats off to the highest bidder. So go ahead, keep your Google, Yahoo, Hotmail, whatever, but get an anonymous service too, for all the confidential and personal stuff. All right, you've heard me say I've only got a dumb phone. Well, everyone, and I mean everyone, says, what's your WhatsApp number? And you know what? I don't have WhatsApp. And here in Latin America, it's so damn popular, you just wouldn't believe it. Why? Because Latins make very little dough compared to what you make up in the States, and therefore they'll do anything to save money. and telephone service, although it's pretty cheap down here. Using WhatsApp is internet-based, and you know, that's almost free, like Skype. For example, the other day I was helping a gringo select skylights for his new house. He doesn't speak Spanish, so he asked me to help him. And I phoned up a skylight fabrication place, and they said they had various thicknesses, models, colors, and some installations they wanted to show me. What's my WhatsApp? I said, I don't have it. They said, we haven't got our internet site updated with our new stuff. Then the other day, I sent an email to a hotel group, couldn't get through by phone, so I sent them an email. They fired one back saying, what's your WhatsApp? Here's ours. So anyway, this stuff just keeps happening more and more. I've been finding out if you don't have WhatsApp, you're the last person on the list they want to communicate with. Yep, I've been finding out. All of Latin America is on WhatsApp. Even shoeshine boys and cleaning ladies. So finally, I decided I'm going to check into this WhatsApp thing. I'll get it in the most anonymous and small footprint way possible. So I said to myself, if I do this, I'll get another phone. That way I'll have two, with one of them completely dedicated to the WhatsApp thing. So I prepared ahead of time, and here's what I did. Went to Start Mail, created one of those anonymous alias addresses. Picked a good first and last name for myself, one that I could remember. I was going to use that when I bought the phone and had it registered. Now, I know when you get a phone anywhere, you have to give up a lot of information. And I wasn't going to give them mine. Not the real stuff, anyway. So I went to a big mall. Now, in every really big mall in Latin America, they'll have the 3, 4, or 5 big internet and telephone branch offices. But I knew if I was going to buy a phone there, I'd have to give them a copy of my passport. Those are the new rules and regs throughout Latin America now. I decided not to go into one of the main offices because, like I said, I'd have to give up my passport. They'd make a copy of it. And I don't want my passport copy floating around in Latin America, would you? Now, I could, like so many gringos do who are trying to stay way under the radar, Photoshop that passport, alter a few things. The phone company doesn't care if it's an original or a copy. However, if you're a Latin person going in to buy a phone, they'll want your original DPI, their country citizenship identity card. But gringos, again, get a pass. A copy. Any copy will do. But most gringos are clueless, so they do give up that original. Did you know the same thing works at hotels? Just give them a copy. So anyway, instead of giving up a Photoshop copy of my passport at a main office, I decided to do it a much easier way. You see, in every big Latin mall, they've also got various little kiosks that sell every brand and make of phone, and they'll hook up service for you too. Now, the guys in these little kiosks make their money on commission by selling things. They're not on a fixed monthly salary like the people working at a specific office like Claro or Tigo or Movistar. So when you walk up, man, they really want to sell you something because they get a commission. So here's how it went, and it'll go the same way for you too. I walked up to one of those phone kiosks. It's so small, there's only one person working there. And speaking in Spanish, because, you know, I'm way off the gringo tourist trail and no one speaks English. So I asked the guy, what's the cheapest phone I could buy and still get WhatsApp and maybe Waze? That really comes in handy, especially in Latin America, where cities are not laid out in strict Cartesian coordinate system like they are in the States. Yep, down here, street signs are lacking as well as house numbers. And Waze could save you many hours a month when you're hunting places down. So I asked the guy to show me the cheapest phone that will get WhatsApp and Waze. He pulled one out from the counter, $25. And it included a month of internet and 200 minutes of talk on the phone. Then I played stupid gringo and said, could you set this up for me? Could you put in the WhatsApp and the Waze? He says, sure, that's what I do. First thing he says to me, what's your email address? Because they got to plug it into the system. I gave him the disposable alias address from Start Mail. He says, what's your Gmail address? We need that one too, he said. Who knew it, but down here in Latin America anyway, when you sign up for WhatsApp, you have to sign up through a Gmail account. I said, sorry, don't have one, just the one I gave you at Start Mail. And he said, well, we need a Gmail account to do this, so I'll set one up for you. I said, cool, and thought of an easy name and a password to remember for that new Gmail account that was going to be linked to the WhatsApp. Then he said, all I need is $25 and your passport. And I forked over the dough, and I pulled a little piece of paper out of my pocket. It had my alias name on it and a 9-digit passport number, as well as an address, a real address, but wasn't mine. I told him I was Canadian, and I had my passport back at the hotel. I said, all the dats are right here, and handed him the paper. And I walked out of there maybe 20 minutes later, Waze and WhatsApp installed and ready to go. Oh, and a few minutes later, I took a picture of a tall, light-skinned, good-looking Latin guy for my headshot on What's Up. He didn't mind. Latins love getting their pictures taken. So there you have it. My What's Up is now completely anonymous and untraceable. And you know what? I like it that way. And I'm even quite handsome now, in a Latin sort of way. And believe me, I'll hardly ever use it unless someone or some business has to send me some photos of a construction site product, whatever. Or if they need something from me and they can't get it any other way. Oh, and note that ubiquitous Latin American so-called Craigslist called OLX.com. If you're looking to buy anything through that site, often the only way to connect with a seller is through What's Up. Oh, and for all you straight arrow, anal type gringos and gringas up there that might say, well, Johnny, you can get in trouble, fined, even jail time for giving out untrue information like that. Well, yeah, I guess you're right. If you're living up in the first world, bud. You see, down here, only organizations like governments and banks have strict wording about giving out false information on their contracts. If you omit information or put wrong or misleading information on forms like rental contracts, utility hookups, whatever, in most cases, it's not against the law. Though that's not to say statements like that won't start appearing sooner or later. But the fact is, Latins cut us gringos so much slack, you just wouldn't believe it. Especially off the gringo tourist trail. By the way, when I bought that phone, I paid cash, so I didn't even have to sign anything. So technically, no signature, no contract at all. Now, about going into clueless gringo mode. I often get asked that question in reference to being pulled over by the cops. What if you can speak pretty good Spanish? Should you speak in Spanish to the cop? Well, that depends, but the fact is, if you start speaking in Spanish, you'll be there a much longer time because they'll want to talk to you, hear your stories, tell you about Uncle Julio in Minnesota, that kind of stuff. Oh, and I'm referring to if you get pulled over south of the Mexican border now. If you get pulled over in Mexico, you're almost always going to get nicked for a bribe. Whether you speak English or Spanish to the cops in Mexico, chances are they'll go for your wallet. But as soon as you get south of Mexico, Guatemala, Belize, Honduras, the cops are much more friendly and generally fatter, lazier, and more Barney Fife-like than any of the cops you're likely to run into in Mexico. One expat gringo friend of mine who travels a lot put it this way. I'm always a bit nervous and afraid when I get pulled over by the cops in Mexico. But as soon as I hit Guatemala, Honduras, and parts south, if I get pulled over, I know it's going to be a time waster, but I'm not afraid. And that pretty much says it all.
South of the border.
This is the Expat Files, living in Latin America. If you want me to help you out with your own Plan B, just schedule a one-on-one consult. Send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And if you want to learn how to move forward with your own Plan B from right up there in the States, go to www.expatplanb.com and check out my three videos. See ya. Nos vemos.